This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb. Today I'm talking with Senior FAA Medical Examiner, Dr. Brent Blue. When the FAA released its proposed new policy on sleep apnea screening late in 2013, Dr. Blue called it one of the craziest things to come out of the FAA in many years. A lot of people agreed with him, and all the GA advocacy groups petitioned for change. Last week, the FAA released a revised policy, so I called Dr. Blue at his office in Wyoming for his take on it. Dr. Blue, thanks for talking to us today. And I guess to start out here, why don't you just give us your take on this new policy and how it's going to work and what you might think are the pros and cons of it?
Well, actually, I think that this policy is one of the more rational policies that the FAA has ever come out with, at least during my experience as an aviation medical examiner. What it has done, it has allowed the AME to use discretion on how to evaluate and if to evaluate an airman who might fit the criteria for risk of having sleep apnea. And what I mean by that is the original proposal by the FAA about a year and a half ago mandated a sleep study, a formal sleep study, before a pilot could return to flight duties. And a formal sleep study can, not only is it difficult to schedule in some places, I mean, even here in Jackson, we're a small community, you might have to wait a month to get an appointment, but it's a very expensive study, usually in the $3,000 range, and many times insurance won't pay for it if there's no obvious indication. So that was pretty onerous. And what the FAA has come out with now is a pretty reasonable policy that if a pilot has risk factors for sleep apnea, that a detailed medical history should be taken and appropriate evaluation be made if there's a suggestion of sleep apnea. And to give you an example, a simple screening test that can be done by most physicians is to send the pilot home with what's called a recording pulse oximeter. And most pilots are familiar with oximeters now because we use them in the cockpit on a regular basis. But this is basically a little larger pulse oximeter that connects to the finger with a wire and is sort of a Band-Aid kind of contraption that goes on the finger. And you turn it on when you go to sleep, and it records your oxygen level throughout the night while you're sleeping at home. If your oxygen level does not drop down during the sleep, then you don't have sleep apnea, because by definition, to suffer from sleep apnea, your oxygen level has to drop in your blood. So if your oxygen level never drops, you finish the evaluation, you don't have sleep apnea, and you've only spent $150 or so to do that.
Oh, well, that sounds like quite a bit simpler. Now the original proposal also had sort of a cutoff, right? If you were a certain BMI, you had to go have this test, and now that's been eliminated.
That's correct. And the BMI was over 40 and a neck size of 17.5, and there were other criteria. But the interesting thing about that is BMI was always essentially founded in order to evaluate large populations of people, to compare one population to another. It was never intended to evaluate an individual. So looking at an individual's BMI is fraught with danger, in that you'll find people who are in tremendous shape. I mean, I'm talking about pro athletes that will have high BMIs, and you'll have other people who are, you know, look horrible and their BMI is low. So it's not a good criteria for judging an individual.
So your feeling then is that this reassessment by the FAA and this new take on the regulations is pretty sensible compared to what they came out with before?
Absolutely. I think it is a much more reasoned and rational approach to the evaluation of pilots with sleep apnea.
Now, what is your feeling about the whole issue of sleep apnea? Is this something that pilots should be getting screened for?
Well, I think that the FAA is responding to a specific accident as opposed to looking at the risk factors in toto. In other words, I think that there are more pilots have risk for coronary vascular disease that we might want to be evaluating than to look at sleep apnea. And just to give you an example, there's a question on the 8500 medical form that pilots fill out that ask if they use contact lenses for near vision. And that was based on one accident. And it's unbelievable that there's a question on a FAA form that is based on one accident, but that's what happened. Sleep apnea, when people have it, is a serious medical problem. It can cause premature coronary artery disease. It can cause high blood pressure. It can cause fatigue and sleepiness in the cockpit, but there are many other things it can cause. And so it's important for people to be evaluated. But whether it's a real high risk factor for aviation compared to all the other things that go on in aviation, I'm not sure that's true. For instance, we don't ask if pilots smoke. And smoking is a far greater risk factor in the aviation community than sleep apnea is.
Okay. So, but do you think then the way that this has played out at this point, this is something that pilots can live with, and are you pretty comfortable with the new procedure?
I am. I'm totally comfortable with the way the FAA has come out with this recommendation and the criteria it wants AMEs to evaluate pilots. I think it's very, very reasonable.
So what will those criteria be if AMEs aren't looking specifically for, you know, a cutoff point, a specific BMI? What are they looking for that will alert them to maybe screen you for sleep apnea?
I think the most significant risk factor for sleep apnea that most AMEs are going to look at is obesity. And obesity is a problem not only from the point of view of sleep apnea, but obesity is a major problem for almost all health problems. And pilots should, you know, be in decent shape. I mean, it's not only important for flight duties, but it's important for longevity. And weight, excess weight is one of the major risk factors for longevity. And hopefully we all should be getting into shape and staying in shape.
So maybe having this on your FAA medical is just another incentive to live up to those New Year's resolutions.
I guess that's true.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for your time. And is there anything else you'd like to add on this issue?
No, I just think it's important when people come into my office for their AME physical, I think it's important for people to realize that there's two issues here. One is that the AME physical is specifically for the safety flying. But that doesn't mean that they're in good health, and it doesn't mean that they don't have risk factors. And I think it's important for pilots to remember that our health is important for other reasons besides just flying.
Okay, well, thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.